Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Really, we went through a lot of adversity going through that. It was a big shock, but, the coaches, starts with coaches first. They doubled down, and we were running with them, and we're all behind, Rich Bisacci. It's just we got a great team, and we know that, and we just got to keep making big strides, and the trust, and the faith that we're rolling with right now is awesome.
That was Colton Miller, the Raiders. Left tackle. I'm looking at a picture of Mark Davis leaving the NFL owners meetings right now, wearing his Raiders jacket, looking sleek over there. Mark Davis, when asked for comment on the Gruden emails and WFT investigation, I'm going to dinner. I'll be back, guys. There you go. With that, the NFL owners meeting is going on right now in New York, Lincoln, and lots to talk about out there, DeMond.
Oh, no, I was just going to add real quick, maybe if either of you guys know, I saw a couple of, reporters make jokes, and they were just like, he's probably going to a P.F. Chang's for dinner.
Yeah.
Does Mark Davis like P.F. Chang's?
Yeah, yes. There was a...
I like it, too. I feel like these people who made these jokes, because I've seen it from two different people who cover the Raiders a little bit, and I'm like, hey, yeah. I've got no problem with that restaurant.
Well, the humor behind it is that it's almost like he eats there every night. I know that he doesn't for a fact, but anyway, maybe he did up in the Bay Area. I know that's not what's going on here in Vegas. So many good restaurants here in Las Vegas, by the way. He was a big aficionado of P.F. Chang, so now everybody, makes the joke about it, just like they joke about his haircut and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm with Mr. Davis on this one.
Yeah, P.F. Chang's
I've seen him mark a couple times at the Rose, the lodge, the Rose.
Yes,
I say Rose.
Exactly.
The place, yeah. So down the street from the facility that we used to do our show at.
We did.
Yeah,
yep. Yeah, he would be there every once in a while. Yeah, so good food over there as well.
Yep.
Getting back to the task at hand, Lincoln, that was Colton Miller and talking about,
he's having an all-pro year, by the way.
He is. And I've been looking forward to talking to you today about the offensive line. I know that's your, one of the things that you definitely keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. And I had asked Colton, as the elder statesman of this offensive line, believe it or not, all of 4 years into your career, you're the graybeard over there now. That group, Lincoln, took a lot of shots during the first, X amount of weeks of the season, and probably rightfully so. They just weren't playing well. We've talked in length about everything that was kind of stacked against this young group, from the trades of veterans to replacing them with first-year starters or rookies to some extent, and then the injuries to Richie Incognito, to Denzel Good. They were dealt a lot of curveballs and a lot of bad cards, basically. I give the coaching staff a lot of credit for saying, okay, we need to make some changes, and we need to make them in a hurry, and we better do it right now in order to give us time for this new retinkered or tinkered with group to get its feet under him and legs under him. And Lincoln, the move of Alex Leatherwood to right guard, Brandon Parker over to right tackle, it seems to be working. Andre James had a really good game on Sunday against the Eagles. Brandon Parker did as well. This whole offensive line played well, although I got to ask you, PFF, I got to go look at it again. Pro Football Focus, the last time I checked, gave Alex Leatherwood a grade of 8 out of 100 mm-hmm. in pass blocking on Sunday. I'm like, I didn't see him have an egregious game. Like that's well, like
he had a. I think he had two penalties.
Well, yeah, so that I think he had for sure one.
I know. I remember for sure one. I want to say I thought there was two, but I know one of them was a hold.
Yeah.
And that probably affected his grade. Okay.
But eight, I mean, is just well, like yeah. that's
well. From right to left. First of all, Brandon Parker still can't stop a bull rush, and it blows my mind why he can't figure this out. He plays way too high. And knowing that guys are going to go right down his chest, I don't know why he stands straight up. But that's a problem that I can't solve definitely over the phone.
right.
But you know, and it's something that definitely needs to be addressed because going forward, and the Eagles had some success collapsing the pocket based on bull rushing him. So he's got to learn how to trap. And he's got to learn how to get away from that. Alex Leatherwood has played a little bit better. He right now for me, he's better suited inside, especially the way he plays with his hands. He's strong. He's physical. He had his hands full playing with Fletcher Cox. There's no doubt about it. That's a big man. It's a good pro. And to be fair, when you talk about the guards in the interior three, the center and the two guards, when you look at the sort of murderous row that they came up against with the games that they played, the people they were playing against. I mean, it probably would have been far worse if Akeem Hicks had played in a Chicago game. But they've had their times. Again, I go back to the fact that at this particular point, sometimes coaching is overrated because you can't get what you need to get out of practice that you can get out of the game. So sometimes experience is better than anything else. The experience is getting better. The play is getting better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, without a doubt. And you saw the run game churning at a much better level on Sunday. I think they were up and above 4 yards per carry. I think both running backs before Josh got hurt were 4.6, 4.8, or something along those lines. I'd have to go check it. But the running game was definitely working. You know, it's they're not, you know, a 200-yard a game group, but maybe it wasn't built for that to begin with. They got more yards. They got over 100 yards on Sunday. It definitely helped in the pass game. They scored a couple on a couple of runs. So I guess my question for you is, from what you've seen, especially over these last 2 weeks, aberration or something that you feel like, you know, they've kind of created a little bit of a foundation for themselves, and they can keep pushing forward. Or do you think that's about the best that you're going to get from this offensive line?
No, I think they're going to continue to grow if they can stay healthy. Now, look, we saw the game. You know, Brandon Parker went out for a little bit. John Simpson went down for a little bit, right? Yeah. So it's the health, and thank goodness they've got a bye. But going forward, I go back to coaching for success. This is where you create a scheme that the Raiders realized over the last couple of weeks that you're better with Josh Jacobs running downhill directly at the line of scrimmage, be it ISO, gives, or dives, than you are trying to stretch runs. Not to say that you can't get back to your zone runs, but you're better off running straight downhill. And they did it with their wham, where the tight end goes and cuts the end man on the line of scrimmage, and you have the whole wave going either right or left. They had success with that. It also gave great vision to both Kenyon Drake and Jacobs when he was in there. And the fact that they've also changed it up by, you know, throwing the screen. They had the success with the screen in the game as well. So you're seeing plays that your guys can do well and that can do better. And now you build upon that because, you know, you've got to develop a little bit more when you bring in Alec Ingold and teams want to load up the line. Derek's got to be smart and knowing who's going to have the man-on-man coverage. Is it a single high safety or is it two in the box and where to go with the football? And I think they're doing that. I think they're showing that. In regards to the offensive line, the more success that you guys have, that the team has moving the ball down the field, the more confident the offensive line is going to get, the better they're going to get. The play is going to be up. So they're going to hold up their own. You do it with max protection. You do it when Jalen Richard comes in the game and he's up in there and they're picking up the blitz and you're beating teams because now teams are going to be reluctant to blitz because you've got so many weapons out there and you've used them all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I was just reading a tweet from Benjamin Albright. So yes, the Texans and Dolphins have agreed to terms, parameters, but no, they haven't agreed to the deal because of the pending investigation. So I got to double check where all that is about. But it sounds like it sounds like there might be a deal for Deshaun Watson that's agreed on, but it can't be executed because there's pending litigation. So that I don't know if he's just speculating or reporting on that. I'll try to reach out to Ben to find out about that. That would be a huge trade, obviously. Okay, so getting back to what you were mentioning, you know, the downhill and, you know, not so much of the zone and that sort of thing, some screen passes. What do you think this is a case of, Lincoln? Do you think it's just what the Raiders organically came to the conclusion about, A? B, do you think it was something that maybe Greg Olsen was in, you know, John Gruden's ear about throughout, and John Gruden was just either too stubborn or just nope, I don't agree with you, and didn't. What do you think that's, or maybe it's just a fresh set of eyes looking at things that has more of a decision making, you know, ability now in Greg Olsen and running with it. What do you think this is that we've seen these last couple of weeks derived from?
Well, I think it's one. It's been a how do you put it? It's been a fresh look at the normal offense they've had in their arsenal. But rather than trying, for example, you know, when I played for Gruden and he wanted a run, he would look over to Callahan. Bill Callahan, I need a run. What do we do here? I want to run the ball. Okay. Callahan would call the run. Not necessarily being in flow if you're paying attention, but that's how Cable was with Gruden, or is, you know, was now that Gruden's gone. But I mean, Tom Cable was the run guy. Coach Cable, need a run. Give me a run. Go. But understanding the flow. You saw last week when they were down basically a tight end to Darren Waller, they put Nick Martin went in there. You know, he became the extra tight end or the lineman.
Yep.
And that's a work in progress, a jumbo package going forward, because don't get me wrong, I like Foster Moreau catching the ball, but he needs a lot of help in blocking.
Right, right.
Okay, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So working forward, this is something that you would be able to run your jumbo package, you'd be able to run your 14 blast, your powers and stuff like that, which they've got to get better at. It's been spots that I've seen it work, but they've got to get better at that power running game, going downhill. And they do a good job right now with ISO and blast, which is nothing more than man blocking up front. So when you talk about the bare front and explaining to people at home, the bare front is when all five of the offensive linemen were covered up by a defensive player.
Right.
Most of the, and it's usually called a 46, no matter how you want to look at it, but it's a five-man front, and then you have two linebackers. So and then you bring a safety. It's an old traditional bare front, 46. And what they're trying to do, what it means is your receiver has to come in and block that safety, and everyone else has to be man-on-man. Now, they've done a good job at doing that, but you've got to have a blocking tight end that can win the line of scrimmage, and I think that's why they brought in Nick Martin.
Yeah, and, you know, that was they've lost some tight ends. Derek Carrier was kind of an unsung hero when it came to run blocking, you know, and – It's interesting sometimes how roster construction is, and you know, we get a lot of why is Dallin Leavitt on the team? Well, he's a pretty decent football player, and he plays special teams. Just the other week, you know, Saturday night, they promoted Markell Lee from the practice squad to the, you know, to the regular roster, and you know, I had some questions about it, like why you know, Markell Lee's not even going to play. Well, as Rich Bisaccia talked about, you bring Markell Lee up because he plays special teams.
Yeah.
And we can't have Foster Moreau, who plays special teams, play special teams because we need him to be our tight end. So it's like you have to look at the full picture of things. Markell Lee wasn't being brought in because they needed linebacker help. Uh-huh. They needed coverage on the special teams. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of layers to all these decisions when you're putting together your roster that I think sometimes fly over the head. And you know, not surprisingly so, you're not in the building. You're not understanding like some of the mechanisms that go into putting together your best game day roster. And you have to account for special teams. That is a huge part of the whole process. We saw the special teams on Sunday, you know, Alec Ingold coming up with that onside kick. You can't overestimate or underestimate, I should say, that play. And it was interesting, Lincoln, because Rich Bisaccia reminded his team, this is what goes back to you talking about your head coach being a special teams guy. He told his players, look, you know, they may try to steal a possession here. You know, they're down. They may try to. So be aware of the onside kick. And just that little seed that was planted helped Alec Ingold be where he needed to be to make a big play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it was a very great, gutsy heads-up play. But, I mean, you can understand their position if you're the Eagles. I mean, heck, the Detroit Lions started the game with the Rams, right?
That's the reason why they succeeded.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're not expecting, you always got to expect the unexpected. Nothing is really standard quo. Now, you know, the other side, the Eagles are like, if you're an Eagles fan, like, well, that was dumb. You know, you didn't get it. You gave them a short field, but you're desperate. You're trying to get possessions. And the Raiders worked not only getting the second half kickoff to in the second quarter, they worked it to perfection. You know, only short, just not get it coming up with a touchdown. But you it became a 10-point swing, and against the Eagles. So it's kudos to Raiders for being aware of it.
By the way, and that was on the heels of one of the best regular season drives I've seen in a long time. That 96-yard drive that the Raiders put together. 10 plays. I kept looking at the clock. It was by design. They knew what they were doing. They were like, we're going to take the stuffing out of the ball. We're going to be efficient here. We want to score a touchdown. Excuse me. But we also want to run some clock. That was a thing of beauty, that drive, Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. And they showed patience. That, again, that's what's when you're coaching for flow. And of course, you know, there were a number of drives in that really impressed me. It's just unfortunate that one that ended in an interception. You know, Derek is scrambling to his right and trying to throw a ball. It was just tipped in the middle. So
was a drive before. I was talking about the one.
No, I know what you're talking about. Oh. Yeah, but I was just saying, thinking about some of the unfortunates. I was impressed with the overall way they played throughout the game.
Yeah, I agree. Can you explain to the listeners what a 4-minute offense is?
4-minute offense is when you go with the notion that if you get 3 first downs, even if you have the 2-minute, the game will be over. Because if you run a play, you get positive yards, you're going to take, 40 seconds off the clock or whatever it is?
Yep.
And you run it down into the single digits, snap the ball, run another play. If you get 3 first downs, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to run the game completely out, including the 2-minute warning, or you're going to force a team to use their timeouts to stop the clock. Either way, that's what it is. 4-minute offense, 3 first downs, and game's over.
And I felt like that was their 4-minute offense. It turned out to be a 6-minute offense, but you know that they went in with that kind of notion on that drive, and really it was they were doing it for a purpose, not just to run out the clock. They wanted to score, and they ended up scoring a touchdown. But from the play calling to the execution to how Derek, you know, operated at the line of scrimmage, they weren't rushed at all, but they also weren't lazy about it. There was a purpose, but it all worked. It was like, you know, you sit up there in the press box for me and, you know, seeing some bad football over the years with the Raiders, to see them execute as efficiently as that, it's like, these little things that you're looking for, is this a good team or an okay team or not a very good team? Little things like that, Lincoln, show you that it's a pretty good football team right here.
Well, again, I think we've established that they're a good football team. But what's different to me from years in the past is that they're taking care of business much more efficiently. And I go back to when Carlson hit the upright. I looked over at Brent. I said, is it me? Is it just seem when things go perfect? There has to be that one little slip up, that one little mishap that leads you to believe that this might be more of an interesting game than it is.
Right.
And without that, you know, when they came back and I think the lead was cut to 11 or whatever it was, or 10, it was like, well, it was still 2 scores. No, I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Brent had said that cut to 16. You know, it's still 2 scores and 2-point conversions, 2-point conversions. Now, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I hope it doesn't come down to this because the Raiders are that much better than the Eagles.
Yes,
it
exactly.
It shouldn't, right?
Right.
It shouldn't. But then you'll give the Eagles credit. They put some drives together. If it wasn't for the fact that they, in my opinion, when it comes to the Eagles, they run so much of their offense through Jalen Hurts. By the time the third quarter and the fourth quarter started, he was so beat up, he couldn't even see straight.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? And then you're just off, you know, you're off a second or two or off a play or two, but – you know, hey, that's the way they want to run things. That's the way they're going to do things. And so, you know, he's there. You can't fault them for doing it. It's not necessarily a smart way, but it is what it is.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if it is the case this year, but in years past, somebody brought up this stat where, you know, the PAT, I forget exactly what the distance is, but if you go just take the PAT out of it, just normal field goals from that distance, right? Kickers are kick it at a higher success rate as just strictly a field goal than they do as a point after. And it's just a mental thing. Like, it's got to be, right?
Well, that's why I don't like kickers.
You put the PAT part of it into the equation, all of a sudden it changes their mind. I don't know why, but when they're kicking it as a field goal, they're much better than when they kick it as a PAT. It just doesn't make any sense.
Who understands field goal? I mean, kickers anyway, in general.
Well, fortunately, the Raiders have a pretty darn good one in Daniel Carlson.
Should be just easy. Just go out there, you know, and oh my god, doink. And then the Eagles doink one, but theirs go in.
That's I know. You haven't got past the, you know, as a reporter and you're going up, that's going to be what kills the Raiders today.
You think about it. That's in the past. That's just it. And that's the difference. They're finding a way to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause even like, let's say the Dolphin game. They're substantially better than the Dolphins, but when they played the Dolphins last year and they were beating them, they couldn't close it out because they didn't have a defense.
Right.
This time you had certain circumstances that worked against you where it made that game a lot more interesting than it had to be.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
No doubt. So it's still a work in progress.
It is still a work in progress.
To get up 30-7, to get up 24-7 the week before against the Denver Broncos, when it's firing on all cylinders, lot of good things to think about with these Raiders moving forward. When we get back, we're going to talk about what Lincoln Kennedy might have done in the bye week when he was playing, and a warning that Rich Bisaccia gave to his players before he said goodbye to them yesterday. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajonar, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I think, you know, this team and coaching staff has been really grinding for a while. You know, we had a big stretch before the opening game, and we kind of all worked through it. The players worked through it, and then we had the multiple Monday night games, and we had short weeks there. So I think the message for the bye week is for the players to get rest, be really smart, and run. You know, I think what they do when they're alone is really going to show up the most we come back together. They understand the schedule for when they come back next Monday and what it's going to look like when they start practice again on Wednesday. So we'll just see how it works for us. But we feel like we have a schedule in place that hopefully can be advantageous to us.
That was Rich Bisaccia talking about, you know, the good news is the bye week is here. It's been a tough grind for the Raiders going all the way back for a while now. So I think the bye week comes at a good time. But as Rich Bisaccia talked about, you know, get rest, be really smart, and run. Because it sounds like something might be waiting for them come Monday, Lincoln Kennedy. What exactly? By the way, you're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. It is a Tuesday. And what exactly might the Raiders come back to on Monday when they come off their bye week ahead of their regular schedule, which would then start on Wednesday, but Monday it sounds like there's something in store.
I don't know. I don't know how Rich would do it. I mean, you know, you get some time away. So what's their schedule?
It sounds like they're going to come back on Monday.
So they got the whole week off?
They do have the whole week off.
Wow.
Yeah, but I think they're coming back on Monday to kind of get a head start on their week. But I think that Monday is because he literally says they understand. I think what they do when they are alone is really going to show up most when we come back together Monday.
Interesting.
And I think that there's probably, I wouldn't say like a conditioning test or anything like that.
No. Yeah, I don't know what it would be. I've never had that much time off.
But it sounded like he said how they take care of business, especially the running part,
right,
the conditioning part, mm-hmm, is going to show up when they come back together. So they probably have, all right, let me ask you this. How many days off would you guys normally get on a bye week?
The most we would get was you would have Monday after the game, day after the game, watch the film, Tuesday off. Then you would go Wednesday and Thursday practice. And
you were in Vegas.
No, I wasn't. Well, I was in Vegas. Yeah, I was in Vegas every chance we got to see you Wednesday.
I'm saying the bye week. Like, there's no game this week, so you're
no game this week. But we had practice. They didn't just let us have a whole week off.
What?
No, yeah.
That's not how it works anymore.
No, I know that. I see that. That's obvious. Well, trust me, if they did, would he be? Oh, yeah.
I think that's why he's trying to say better run on those off days, because when we show up, there's probably not going to be any, they're going to run whatever they did out of them.
Right.
On Monday, it sounds like. So just best be prepared. Yeah. So in your day, I say that like it was so long ago. It really was.
It was 20 years ago.
I know. We don't have to go there, Lincoln.
Well, I'm just saying. You can say it's not that long ago.
It isn't. I'm old. Time flies, man. It sucks. But anyway, I digress. So it sounds like, he's trusting them to handle their business.
And I can honestly say, not honestly, but from what I've seen of this team, I can see that. I think that, you don't hear about guys getting in trouble. At least I haven't heard of guys. You're there living in Vegas. I haven't heard of guys getting in trouble in the streets.
Nah.
Getting in fights at the strip club and stuff like that. I mean, those are all things that happened back in my day.
Right.
But I haven't heard of guys, there. And the fact that they've been there now for, a couple of years, you would probably get the strip out of you, especially post-COVID. If you see how important it is for you to be available, the last thing you want to do is go down, and hang out or be somewhere that you're not supposed to be. I'm not saying you can't have fun, but if anything, if you had a whole week, man, if I had a whole week, I'd be on Hawaii or something like that right now. I would have taken off and gotten a little mini vacation.
But and here's the thing, though, as quickly as you can get in shape, it's quicker that you can get out of shape.
Yeah, it usually takes you about 2 weeks to fall completely out of shape, to where you lose your breathing and everything else. You can't run as efficient, and you'll build up a lactic acid. But I just these guys, from what they do right now and the way they practice, I don't see that really happening. I think you could still take a couple days off, typically like you do right now. I mean, we've seen them go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, really, or just walkthroughs, right? Haven't you?
Basically, Wednesday? So, Wednesdays haven't been a heavy practice. I have to say this. Last week it was, though.
Was it?
Last Wednesday, when the Raiders coming off that the Denver win, I remember guys were saying, we got after it. And it was, remember, we talked about it last week, about how, there was more talking about the wrong things that they did against Denver than the right things. So
that should be. That's why you coach.
Yep, exactly. And then they kind of got after each other a little bit in practice. So that could be something of
they do that Wednesday and Thursday?
I don't remember I'm trying to remember what it looked like. I have to look back at some of my videos, what it looked like on Thursday.
Because in the past, used to be Wednesday and Thursdays were your full days, were your hardest days.
Without a doubt, yeah.
They still are,
but I think they're handled a little bit differently from team to team, too.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can see that. But I say that to say this, that, honestly, if he said from Sunday to, Monday, said, look, I'll see you next Monday, you have a complete week off and be ready, I can only assume every professional out there, is going to probably take the first 4 days where they do absolutely nothing or what they want to do. And then on the weekend, they'll probably get some things going, because that's usually when the juices go, start flowing, like Thursday and Friday and stuff like that, but into the weekend, where you just go out and maybe get on the treadmill, ride a bike, or do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know a lot of the players, I would imagine that some guys are just going to stay local, head over to the facility and do their thing. It just seems to be like that's the way this team is wired anyway. I don't expect Max Crosby to go nuts and go crazy and just leave football, and go sit on a beach somewhere, even though he totally deserves it. But, I think he's on just such a mission that I wouldn't be shocked if he's at the facility, during this week. And not pushing it as much as he normally does, but staying on top of it so that when he does come back next week, it's not like he didn't lose a step.
The season is too important.
Yeah.
And you're off to such a good start. I just can't see. I don't see a guy, and I'm trying to picture everyone's face. I don't see a guy in that locker room who would just mess it up for everyone else.
No. And I that's kind of what we've been talking about,
But it also happens when you have as young a team as you have.
That
you know what I mean?
In terms of which way?
Bad well, as far good? As the age, and I mean, look, you've got some veterans on your team, mm-hmm. but they've always seemed to be from. I haven't heard bad reports about Perriman or Casey Hayward or stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are still really young guys, and so they're not going to be the ones that rock the boat. Yeah, go be the ones that get out in trouble. Get in trouble.
Yeah, and when you just mentioned Perriman and guys like that. A lot of their being here is the result of, Gus Bradley, the relationships they have with Gus Bradley. And you got to figure that somebody like Gus Bradley, he's been around guys, 4 years. He knows, he's talented, but, little iffy on the bye week. We might lose him on the bye week. You know what I'm saying? Like he would know. He would understand about that. So even the new guys that are here, like you just mentioned, you got to figure are about the right things. And I think you're right about the young players as well.
Well, there's also another part of it, though. If you're one of those veteran guys that we're speaking of, if you're on a short-term deal, the last thing you want to do is rock the boat and mess yourself up on a contract.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, as you were mentioning all that, the season is short. And, I think if you go back to the off season, a lot of guys, I would drive by the facility. I would do the show from the facility during the week, and you'd see guys there, even when they didn't have to be there, right?
Well, it's a nice facility, first of all.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had a tour of everything, but from what I did see, from a vantage point, I know that it's not a bad place to be if you have time to kill. Let's put it that way.
We didn't talk about this because you had taken some time off in the off season, but mm-hmm. I did talk about this, especially talking to some people, in the Bay Area, and I have some experience in this because covering the Rams in Southern California and how expensive it is to live there, and how expensive it was to live in the Bay Area. Guys, sometimes during the off season, I don't know about yourself if you lived year round in the Bay Area or not, but
nope.
But, okay, there you go.
Nope. Most of the guys didn't live there, but
right.
Year round.
Yeah. So. Going to the facility day after day in the off season, or to the extent that you're allowed to and could and all that, I think it's wide open after a certain point where you can just work out there. I think there's an advantage for the Raiders right now because this is a very affordable and nice. It's not affordable because it's not nice. It's just affordable relative to California. Absolutely, guys live year round here, and I think more and more do, and as a result, like you said, it's not a bad place to go hang out for a couple of hours, get your work in, and then go do your thing in the off season. I think that's going to be a benefit for the Raiders. I think we've already seen that it's a benefit, but I think moving forward, Lincoln, it's going to be a benefit, whether it's too expensive to live year round in places like California, or too cold in a Green Bay or other places like that. They've kind of got the best of both worlds. Do you think that that could be a benefit for them?
Well, it definitely is. I mean, the fact is the game has progressed off the field so much more than when I was playing. Now I when you see the itinerary, they've got their soft tissue experts where you get your massages and you can go as far as acupuncture with qualified licensed people. And this is a place where you can do it. So think of it as most general people use their athletic club. As frequently, this is the Raiders Athletic Club,
right?
And it's
free.
It's free, and you've got all the amenities from hot tubs, cold tubs, pools, all that stuff in there. I'm sure. Again, I haven't seen the locker room, but I'm sure it does because it's big, and you've got indoor fields. You got your weight room, everything else. You can go in there and listen to whatever type of music you want to listen to. You don't have to be worried about being bothered by somebody. Hey, man, nice game. Can I get a picture in that? So
or you're not so tough,
right? And then I don't know if they do it for the players every day, but I'm sure they've got food there. So it's not a bad place to go if you have to stay. I'm just saying that if I had that much time off, I'd be in trouble.
Well, I want to ask you that, Lincoln Kennedy. I know we're in season, but it's a bye week, so we have some flexibility to talk about other things. Right. But okay, so things do change over the course of time, and so whereas your era. How much were you dedicating yourself during your off season to your craft? I'm almost going to guarantee it, not because you worked any less than anybody else, but I almost would venture to say it's not as much as current players do now.
Well, I will say this, that when I first joined the league, I had the feeling that it was 6 months on, 6 months off.
Right.
That's what I had.
I love that schedule.
Look, we would had the training camp where you would get yourself in shape and stuff like that. It morphed into creating an off-season workout program.
Right.
So after the season was over, after the Super Bowl, you probably had a month off where you had the off-season workout program, and they would start off slow, and you would ramp your way up all the way up until draft or the mini camp start. Then you would kind of taper back on the training, if you will. After the last mini camp, say in June, you probably had a month to yourself, because the way we looked at it is, the way I looked at it is, once you had 4th of July fireworks, you knew you had to get back ready to work because you were going to go to training camp shortly thereafter. Does that make sense?
Of course, yeah.
So in the bye, depending on where you got your bye, like I said, I never had this much time off, but depending where in the season you got your bye was depending on how much you were going to be away from football. Sometimes you were just mentally burnt out, you know?
Yeah.
You think about training camp and a couple of games and all of, you know, all the preseason games and all that stuff, you're just mentally burnt out. Today's athlete is different in many ways because, let's face it, the most of the Raiders starters only played 7 games. They didn't play in preseason. So they haven't played 10 games. So you can't necessarily say they're totally burnt out. Maybe somebody like John Simpson might get away from a little bit longer. But, you know, he's also a guy that has been focusing on his craft. And you mentioned that that he got stronger in the weight room, was to dedicate himself. So
yeah.
The reason why I say this sort of long-winded answer is the fact that guys these days should realize – that your body is your investment. Those who take that investment at hand and do well with it usually have played better and are better players, i.e. LeBron James. And
yeah.
I'm not saying you got to commit $1 million of your money.
No.
But if you have it,
yeah,
you know, if you have it, do it. Because this,
you
know, it'll pay off in the end.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's not a wasted investment. So I think with a facility such as that in Henderson, and the fact is the team is rolling, and now you are the cat's meow. So, you know, if anybody recognizes you outside, this is probably a time where you go get on a plane and go somewhere for a while just to get away.
Yeah, a couple of days at least.
Yep.
You know, and it's just interesting how things change. I remember talking to Cooper Kupp the first day of training camp of his second season, and he was like, man, he goes, I looked back at the previous year, his rookie year, and he's like, it was nonstop. And he's like, he walked me through it. I had my senior year, right, at Eastern Washington. Then it went right into getting ready for the draft, all right, first, not just the draft, but the scouting combine.
Oh, yeah,
like
combine.
He went to the Senior Bowl, too. Yep. Senior Bowl. Then it was, he goes, where you're practicing football, then it just completely flips to training for the scouting combine, which is a completely different thing. You're not really training for football. Mm-hmm. You're training to show off all these other things that they ask you to do. And then it's the draft, and you're working out, you're going to teams. Teams are coming out to you to work you out. Now you're into April, late April.
Yeah.
And then it was mini camp, rookie camp. You know, and then OTAs and mini camp, and then a little bit of a break, and then training camp. And he was like, it was from like November of the previous year, nonstop. Then the season, you know, and then OTAs again, and all that, and a little bit of a break before training camp. He's like, I didn't even realize like how much that was until I didn't have to do all of that. And so it's just a different time.
It is a different time. And I will, you know, just a little add on is that it's morphed to a year round thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so to that extent, I could see where you got to pull back on the contact and the amount of contact. But I still believe, you know, there are certain positions who need that contact because you can't play football without
them. Yeah, when we come back real quick, sorry to interrupt there, because I know that you always talk about the soft tissue stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's up. I'm going to look at it real quick because the NFL owners' meetings were today, and Dr. Stills was talking about the increase in soft tissues, and maybe it's what we're talking about here too, you know, with how football has changed and practicing football has changed. We know the conditioning is top notch, but that doesn't necessarily always work for you when you actually have to go out there and play a physical sport like football, and there's a price to be paid for that as well. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Tuesday.
No one gets you closer to the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy.
Yeah, so, Lincoln, Dr. Sills from the NFL was saying today that soft tissue injuries are like at a 5-year high this year. So, you know, there's definitely some give and take. And I know you had mentioned in the past, like, you didn't even hear about stuff like that back in the day.
And the length and what it was, and also on the rise, I think, like, you know, Achilles tendons and stuff like that. I've seen a lot of those, but I blame those more on the shoes. I think, you know, if I had my druthers or I was in the locker room, I would try to tell guys to take more control over things like their footwear, especially because I think you, and I think you would agree this, Vinny, as a man who wears shoes, the shoe quality has gone down.
Yes.
Okay, the quality of it has gone down. Now, back when you had a Nike contract, we had, you know, constant shoes. You could always get as many shoes as you want or whatever it was, but they had to also had to be of good quality. I remember that there was 1 year when I played in my Nike contract, the shoes I got were only good for one game because they were just so – they were not supportive, as supportive afterwards.
Wow.
And so I think that I would think that if guys had shoe contracts, they would take more of a personal interest into their shoes to make sure they're comfortable, you know, get your orthotics, all the things that you have to do, podiatrists and stuff like that, because that should be as important. But, you know – the way they do things these days, I just think that sometimes it can be, I know why they do it, I don't necessarily always agree with it, but it can sometimes be more hazardous than helpful.
Man, I remember covering the Dodgers when, you know, like every month or so, maybe every couple of weeks or so, one of the shoe reps would come into town and, you know, they'd be in the clubhouse and they would go to player to player asking, what do you need, you know? Right. And I used to just sit there, you know, and just... And even the guys afterwards would go, can you believe my life right now? Like,
yeah.
They were pinching themselves because they were saying, yeah, I need these, this, that, this. Okay, gotcha. It was all free, you know, and it would be delivered to them. Mm-hmm. And the players would look at me going, man, you know, like that's it's I'm, you know, and you so you enjoy it for as long as you can, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But you know what? It's like, I love the Jordan brand. But some of them damn Jordans hurt my feet. You know, it's like, and you spend all this money. The last thing you want to do is be in pain. So, and there's instances like that where we had deals or you had things that you that looked aesthetically nice, but shoot, you would pay if you had those bad boys on.
We only have a few minutes, but I was just thinking about the Dodgers and okay, so as a prominent player, prominent young player, okay, on the Dodgers, everyone knows who I'm talking about, and I'll tell you who it was off the air. A good-looking player, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Dodgers, it was his rookie year. They had a day off, right, which rarely happens in baseball. So the day after the day off, you know, everyone's back in the clubhouse and the media's in there and we're talking and, you know, asked him, you know, what'd you do on your first day off, basically, right? And so he was talking about how he went over to the Fox Hills Mall. I don't know if you know.
I do know where that is.
All right, so in Los Angeles,
I used to go there myself.
he's like kind of walking around, you know, and he's like, man, but I'll tell you, he's like the girls here in L.A. You know, they're pretty aggressive, you know, and he's from the Midwest someplace, right. And so he says, you know, I met this girl. She just walks up to me, literally walks up to me, and says to me, "You're taking me out tomorrow night." I'm like, why? She was that bold to to tell him that she was gonna that he was taking her out on a date the next night, and he's like, I'm sorry, you know, can't do it tomorrow night, you know. And she's like, well, what about the next night? No, you know. And finally, he told her, he goes, I work at night, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what do you do, you know? And then he goes, then I was like, And so he told her, he goes, well, I'm a manager at Jack in the Box.
Right.
oh, well, I'll be talking to you later.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was like, I learned, you know, I was like, I gave her the little test. Like, little did she know, yeah, I work at night because I play for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That would have changed that tune.
Oh, without a doubt.
So he goes, but hey, I learn. And, you know, like if I'm not good enough for you working at, you know, a fast food restaurant, then I don't want anything to do with you. So, but I was like, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. By the way, that player ended up dating one of the most iconic people on the face of this planet right now. So he probably played his cards right.
Sometimes it's better to be choosy and the way.
You know, and
what's so funny right now? Because you said he's from the Midwest, right?
I wouldn't say Midwest. I would say Southwest.
I know exactly who he's talking
now
about.
Now you probably do because I may have given it away by the iconic
girlfriend.
MK. Are you looking at MK?
Yeah, we all, can we not say his name? I mean,
I don't want to do him like that. So, but you're right. So if anyone else can figure it out, that you can figure it out. But yeah. But isn't that that was a pretty good little litmus test that he threw at her in order to make sure that she was, you know, liking him for the right reasons and not just because of what he might do. So she just ran away when he told her that he was a fast food.
I could tell you some stories about back in the day. I mean, I can share one over the air that happened to me when I was a rookie, just originally drafted. I had this female who was living in Houston who sent me a picture of her and a pair of her panties, and to the team facility, and said, "I just saw you got drafted. I think you're exceptionally cute. When you come to Houston, call me."
Oh man!
I mean, it's like had instances like that. So I mean, it's like, they're out there.
Well, here's the last one I'm going to tell is right. This is an iconic. This is back in the day, but an NBA story. So. In Los Angeles, this dude goes back to the apartment of this girl, blah blah blah, you know, and the next morning, whenever it was, hey, can I get you anything? She's like, no, you know what? If all I ask is, can I get your basketball shoes? You know, how that was always a big thing. So he's like, yeah, sure. He reaches into his bag, gives her the basketball shoes. She opens up her closet, and there's like 20 pairs of basketball shoes in that closet. So. He wasn't the only one.
No, no.
Who's
exactly
basketball shoes?
Don't think you're the only one. Don't think you're special. Yeah. Don't ever think you're special. Okay.
Damon, did you want to add anything to that?
Not at all.
Well, on that note, we will be back to talk tomorrow in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, Damon. Thanks a lot, Lincoln. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye right now.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.